Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 191 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we're going to talk about the Trevor Ariza trade, the Trevor Ariza non-trade, and Phoenix's decision to waive Austin Rivers. Before we get underway, a reminder that you can find us on Twitter at the NBA pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handle, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's going well, Brian, and I hope the same is true with your dad.
Yeah, so I'm sorry that we couldn't record while this Trevor Ariza madness was going down, or even the day after. I know this is somewhat belated, but my dad got his knee replaced on Friday, so I was back in Philly this weekend, hanging out with him in the hospital, making sure everything went okay. And turns out hospitals are very noisy and not places that are conducive to recording podcasts, unfortunately.
Well, how dare you be with your dad and who's getting his knee replaced?
I know.
Instead of here, how dare you?
Well, you know, so he gets it replaced on Friday. I leave at like 8 or 9 at night, go home, watch the end of the Sixers blowing another winnable game to Indiana, enjoy. So when you watch a game on League Pass after the game is over, that's the end of the local feed. But I was back in Philly, so I got to see the NBC Sports Philly post game. And if I thought Sixers Twitter was bad, oh my God, Sixers Twitter must just draw their inspiration from the local post game show, because it was like a mirror image of itself. So I was scrolling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm scrolling on Twitter while watching this show, and I was about to go to bed, and then I see this Ariza thing come out. So let's just dive right in. We're going to start with the non-trade, and then we'll get into the actual trade.
I love this so much.
So I'm scrolling through, and I see the report come out from Woj that the initial report said it's a 3-team trade. Ariza is going from Phoenix to Washington. Memphis is getting, or is giving up, Dylan Brooks, which ended up being the controversial part of this whole thing. And then I think they were also going to say Wayne Selden and a draft pick as well. And then Washington was giving up Austin Rivers and Kelly Oubre. So then it comes out because then there's immediately some conflicting reports. John Gambadoro, who's a local Suns reporter, kept insisting it was Dylan Brooks, but some reports started leaking out that no, the Grizzlies are giving up Marshawn Brooks, not Dylan Brooks. But Gambadoro is insisting, no, it's Dylan Brooks. And then Woj comes out a little bit later. It's actually, this deal is in real jeopardy because the two teams didn't agree on which Brooks they were sending. Apparently, both of them were negotiating through Washington, and somehow the Grizzlies thought they were trading Marshawn Brooks, and the Suns thought they were getting Dylan Brooks. And the Grizzlies were like, no, we actually like Dylan Brooks. Marshawn Brooks is whatever. He's a journeyman. We'll happily give him up. So the deal literally falls apart because they can't decide on which Brooks they're sending. That was one of the all-time best mishaps, front office fiascos I can remember, right?
Yeah. I was so pissed to realize I hadn't been on Twitter when that went down.
it was, I was sad because I had to go to sleep because I was getting up early the next morning to go visit my dad again. And I, like, needed to, I was dead tired and I couldn't stay up all night. And I'm just thinking, like, this is going to be the best night of NBA Twitter since the DeAndre hostage situation.
Yeah. Oh, man. But look, I mean, how can you even... We're blaming Washington for this, right?
I don't even know who to blame. That's the best part. I think so.
Right? They negotiated through them. It has to be... Like, I could just see Ernie Grunfeld messing this up.
Like, how did the conversations go? Were they just like, yeah, we're going to trade Brooks. Did they not specify which one?
And then, I don't think so. Honestly, no.
Or, like, maybe Memphis says, we're going to trade Marshawn Brooks, and the Wizards don't realize they have two Brooks on the roster. So then they go to Phoenix. They're like, yeah, they'll give you Brooks. And Phoenix is like, that's great. Perfect. We like Dylan Brooks. And they're like, yeah, sure, Brooks. Great.
Right. I think, I mean, from everything we've seen over the years when, you know, NBA teams or the NBA itself releases, like, behind-the-scene videos mm-hmm. of, like, a war room or whatever,
right.
like, they always just use last names. I still remember that Brian Colangelo video when he was in Toronto,
uh-huh.
like, when he called up the Bulls, so you just drafted two small forwards in Cephalosha and Thomas, and it was mm-hmm. Tyrus.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make Dang available? Like, there's obviously, you know who those guys are, but right. it's always like the last name basis,
right?
Which is fun. Like, yeah, maybe use the first name as well. Just yeah. maybe,
right?
Like, just imagine if someone called the Heat and asked for Johnson,
right? I feel like teams should try this more often. I said on Twitter, like, when the Sixers were trying to trade Jahlil Okafor, they should have signed Emeka Okafor. And I should be like, we'll give you Okafor.
Yeah. There we go.
So, I mean, yeah, like, so apparently Phoenix says they had direct conversations with Memphis about Dylan Brooks, not Marshawn mm-hmm. Brooks, about Dylan Brooks. But Memphis flatly denied it, according to Woj. They insist that they negotiated the deal through Washington and through Ernie Grunfeld. And Washington says it believed it was Dylan Brooks, not Marshawn Brooks. But, like, Is this just a fiasco for everyone? Like, does anyone come out yes. looking good from this?
No. Dylan Brooks, maybe, because you have some sympathy.
Right. And trade value, it seems.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, he's about to turn 23, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's still got some potential. I get it. He hasn't played much, but you still want him. Instead of Marshawn, who's like, what, 30 something?
Yeah, I think he's like 29, I want to say.
Or 29? Yeah, but like you said, like a journeyman, right? Even though he did play, you know, his ass off last year, but yeah, it's just not good.
Yeah, it was truly spectacular. It's like just the most. The only way it could have been more Wizards and more Suns is if the Kings or the Bulls were involved instead of the Grizzlies.
I would agree with all of that. Yes.
Like, the Grizz were the one team that were like, I guess it's a good lesson for these 3-team and 4-team trades. And it's like why these are even harder, or yet another reason why these are even harder to pull off than a standard 2-team trade is because you clearly need to communicate with all parties and not just go through an intermediary. And
right.
If you have multiple players on your team with the same last name, maybe, as you said, it's good to include the first name when you're negotiating.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord. Imagine if Memphis had another guy with the last name of Jackson, and they accidentally traded Jaren Jackson.
Oh, my God. And that, I just love the jokes on Twitter. It was like, Washington should just throw in Scotty Brooks and call it a day.
Yeah.
So let's solve this whole fiasco.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So yeah, so that was the non-trade portion of
that was
Trevor
the non-trade
Ariza proceedings, right? Then the next day, you know, that, well, that, because there was already a report that came out when that happened that the Suns were like refusing to give him to the Lakers. I think it was David Aldridge of The Athletic who had that report. He said like Robert Sarver was just like, no, we are not giving Trevor Ariza to the Lakers, even though, you know, Ariza had played for the Lakers, he had connections there, LeBron wanted him there. It seemed like a foregone conclusion that he was going to go there. But the Suns apparently did not want to do that. So then the next day, they revived the trade, cut Memphis out of it with no Brooks involved this time. So the Wizards get Trevor Ariza. The Suns then send Kelly Oubre Jr. and Austin Rivers. How do you like it? Let's go from the Wizards side first.
Well, come on. Is this, look, I mean, Oubre is going to be a restricted free agent. I get that they may not want to pay him.
Right.
But, like, he's a better long-term asset than Trevor Ariza.
Right.
And Austin Rivers. Like, I don't know what they're trying to do. The way that I see it is this has to be the first of many more moves.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes no sense. Let's give up a young asset. And Austin Rivers, I suppose, who's very overpaid, for Trevor Ariza, a 33-year-old, let's be fair, Trevor Ariza, who's not really going to make us, you know, the team that we want to be. Unless Ernie Grunfeld is sitting there going, oh, now I can really chase the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right.
Which, no, there's no two ways about it. It's not going to happen. And by the way, you know, we were talking about Trevor Ariza, you know, going back to the Lakers. He's been in Washington, too. He still returned to a team he's used to, so.
Right.
Yeah, and he was apparently mentally checked out in Phoenix, which I get.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, yeah, right. But
just take that money and stop caring immediately.
Exactly. But no, I don't find any logic in this for Washington's side unless it's the start of something more. For Phoenix, on the other hand, getting Kelly Oubre, I kind of like it. I know a lot of teams, a lot of guys on Twitter are like, hey, you know what? Now they have so many wings. Like, they need to do something. Yeah, wake up and smell the new age NBA.
Right.
Wings are all the rage nowadays.
Right. Yeah, I think you hit it from the Wizard side. If you're looking at it from, like, a pure, does this make sense in terms of long-term asset management? No, just because, as you said, Oubre has more long-term upside than a 30-something-year-old Trevor Ariza. That said, from Washington's perspective, I think Ariza, as you said, he played with them before. I mean, that was like when John Wall was at his peak, he was feeding Trevor Ariza corner threes just repeatedly. So I think, and we've seen, I mean, even, you know, Ariza hasn't played much or many games with Washington so far because the trade only went down a couple days ago, but he already looks comfortable in that role. I mean, he played one game with them so far, actually, but he played 38 minutes. He hit, you know, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 6 steals, had 4 threes already. Like, that's a pretty good debut. I think you could make an argument that this year Trevor Ariza is more valuable to them than Kelly Oubre.
I
think a lot of it, too, is like, apparently he was just a really good locker room guy and a good locker room leader. And we've, you know, it doesn't take a bunch of league insiders and like league sources to tell you that that Washington locker room is a tire fire right now. So maybe they acquire him to kind of be that locker room peacekeeper and like restore some semblance of balance to like get this team. I mean, this has been one of the most underwhelming teams in the NBA so far. Like on paper, they should be a clear playoff contender. They're 12-19 and they just lost to Atlanta. You know, they've lost 5 of their last 6 games after like
starting compliment to Atlanta.
Yeah. But, you know, they started 1-7. It looked like they were starting to dig themselves out of their hole a little bit. They were 11-14 as of December 5th, and then they dropped 5 of their past 6. And now they're in the East, so luckily they're not dead. Like, if they were in the West, they'd be in a lot more pain than they are. But, you know, because the East has got a bunch of teams that have no intention of being competitive this year. So, just by default, they're still in the playoff race. But I think also, as you said, they probably didn't feel comfortable about their chances of... I mean, they could have kept Oubre, because he's a restricted free agent, no matter what, if they wanted to pony up. But with John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter on max deals, John Wall on a super max, that's a lot of money invested into three guys. If Oubre also gets a fat offer sheet, you probably don't feel super great about keeping him around too, or you just have to make a move to duck the luxury tax. Whereas Ariza, you know, it will probably be somewhat cheaper to re-sign. I think that's fair to assume than Kelly Oubre this summer.
That is true, but then again, you have to look at, as you actually alluded to, the age. I mean, theoretically, Trevor Ariza could just bottom out by, you know, next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the age could hit him hard.
Right.
We just don't know. Especially with wings, it does seem like there's going to be that one season that just is a major drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, I think he's one of those guys who may not drop off as significantly because he plays a lot off the ball.
Right.
So, you know, you can look at that and go, oh, maybe not. But we've seen weirder things in the NBA. And going for a guy who's younger and has more upsides is usually the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like with Washington, there's just no real logic in their direction, right? Because where are they going? What are they doing? Like, John Wall clearly is earning so much money that you cannot trade him unless you give up future assets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bradley Beal said, you know, I've been dealing with this for 7 years.
Right.
So, and Otto Porter is, you know, I think he's underrated now. Like, he's just, we kind of flipped the page. Like, now he's become underrated, but, you know, he's still overpaid. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you get out of all that? Like, what's the direction? So now it's Trevor Ariza, and now they need to re-sign him in the summer. Okay, great. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Does that move the needle any? Really? Yeah, sure, we're going to win 3 more games next regular season. Okay, that may mean one higher playoff seed.
Yeah.
Well, so what?
Yeah. I mean, like, Oubre has been not terrible for them. Austin Rivers was not terrible for them. We've seen these, you know, 2-for-1 trades where, like, for the Sixers and Jimmy Butler, suddenly they have no depth. And when one of their top three players goes down or, like, doesn't play well, they're screwed because of that. I'm wondering if a similar kind of thing could happen to Washington where, like, now, I mean, if John Wall goes down, that's their season.
I think so. Or or maybe the increased ball movement actually ends up your entire offense.
Right.
I will, you know, challenge you on the Austin Rivers has been okay part.
Okay.
Because, you know, from everything I've seen and the numbers seem to back me up on it, he's been somewhat dreadful.
Yeah.
You know, and that's possibly why Memphis didn't want to sign him.
Right. We'll get there. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get there. But I will give your boy Jeff Green some love.
Yeah.
Like, Jeff Green is nearing, like, the 50-40-90 mark, which is really weird.
Damn right.
Didn't think I'd see that one.
Damn right he is.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He might be their best bench player.
I know, exactly. Yeah. This is finally the Jeff Green breakout that we've been waiting for. In his age 32 season, it's finally happening.
Oh, man, this team is just in so much trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what to do with them. And if Ariza leaves?
Right.
Like, then what? Yeah, okay, you got out of Oubre's contract, but, like, is that preferable?
Yeah, I mean, that means you just wasted, he was the 15th overall pick 4
years ago. Yeah, top 15 pick.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's turn to the Phoenix side then, because as you said...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There was some concern, that I've seen about, like, well, you know, they have Oubre, but they also have TJ Warren. They have Mikal Bridges. They have Josh Jackson. How do you get minutes for all of those guys? Even Devin Booker can, like, moonlight into three.
I mean, look, doesn't matter. You can play some of the four. You can even play... I mean, theoretically, you can even go TJ Warren at center if you want to go, like, super-duper small.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not worried about... Like, A, none of those guys, aside from Mikal, I think, are, like, clear-cut, this guy is definitely going to be a part of the future of this team. I mean, like, TJ Warren's scoring really well, and I think he's on a reasonable deal. Like, I don't think they should be in any rush to move him. Josh Jackson, I'm not giving up on him yet, but he hasn't been all that great. And, like, I know he was the number four overall pick, but we've said it before, we'll say it again. Look at Phoenix 2 years ago. Like, they wasted two top 10 picks on Dragon Bender and Marquise Chris. Like, where you get drafted stops mattering the second you get drafted outside of this is, it slots into how much money you're going to make for the next 4 years. But, like, you know, it doesn't matter in terms of, like, we can't give this guy up because he was a top five pick. Well, if he's not good, you can give him up.
So I'm actually really, really annoyed with James Hollis right now because he was all in on Josh Jackson in 2017. I don't even remember, during one of our draft pods.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually convinced me that he was going to be, you know, real nice, like a star player. And yeah. I was like, oh, you know what? His reasoning by then, I don't even remember the reasoning right now, but I do remember he convinced me. And I was like, on my big board, I was like, oh, I don't really like Jackson. Uh-huh. I don't really like him, but you know what? I kind of see the logic of what James was saying. I'm going to pluck him up on, I think I put him up in, like, my fourth, number four on my big board or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that was the one I felt uneasy about. And I hate myself for just not listening to myself instead, because, damn, it's been bad.
Yeah. Well, I
remember. It's been really bad.
That was a legitimate debate, was, like, Markel was the clear-cut number one prospect, and most people had him as a clear-cut number one. Most people had Lonzo at number two. And then there was a debate between Josh Jackson and Jason Tatum at three and four.
Right.
Which looks
very much true.
It looks dumb in retrospect, but, like, you know, go back and look at every big board aside from Chad Ford's, which is inevitably has Donovan Mitchell number one now.
Yeah. No, but you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. And he did have it, like, a good end of the season that just inflated his numbers spectacularly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What, he averaged, 20-something? I am looking up the numbers right now. I think he averaged, like, 20 points in the final month of the season.
Yeah, after the All-Star break, he really came on strong. But that's the danger, especially on a bad team, of, like, putting too much stock into post-All-Star break numbers, because a lot of teams, especially last year, a lot of teams really started tanking pretty hard at the end of the year, so... Players put up inflated numbers a lot of the time, especially young players who are getting more minutes than they were at the start of the season. But now that he has legit competition with Warren and Bridges in particular, it has not been nearly as good this year. So, like, I understand the concern about Oubre in that regard. Like, I don't think he's going to play 35 minutes a game. Like, Ariza was number two on that team, 34 minutes a game. I don't think Oubre slots right into that role. No. I think we get more TJ Warren and Mikal Bridges, and then, like, Oubre probably gets 25 minutes a game, somewhere around there.
That's a fine number for him. Like, yeah. He's still not grown significantly. I mean, he took a leap a couple years back, but he hasn't really built on that so far.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I mean, for a Suns team that wasn't going anywhere, Ariza was very mentally checked out, as you said. This is a good use of assets and cap space, frankly. Like, they signed him to a one-year deal, flipped him the first day he became eligible to be traded, and then they get Kelly Oubre, who, again, was the 15th overall pick 4 years ago, a 23-year-old who they would have had no other chance to acquire except from in restricted free agency next summer. And yeah. And even if they really wanted, if they were, like, super high on Kelly Oubre Jr., Washington could have matched. Like, this was... The whole non-trade was a debacle, but getting Oubre out of this was smart management or smart asset management.
Yeah. Right. Just because of the flexibility that it provides you.
Right.
I mean, and you know, now that we're on the subject, you brought him up a couple times. I'm looking at TJ Warren right now.
Uh-huh.
Should we give him some buzz for MIP? Mm. Like, this is where the raw stat line really messes you up, because he's like averaging less numbers, but he's doing it in less minutes, but his efficiency have gone through the roof, and you can see, like, his three-point shooting has just drastically improved.
Right.
His free throw shooting drastically improved. Yeah. His turnovers are ridiculously low, as they've always been, but, like, I don't know. I'm kind of digging what CJ's doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, he was really good. Or he started really well. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I think it may have been 2 years ago, and then he got injured. Yeah. And then he kind of, like, never found his footing again till kind of the end of the year. And then last year, he just played pretty well. I mean, you know, he averaged almost 20 points a game. And, yeah, this year, like, he's a good player. And they have him, I think, at, like, it's barely over $11 million a year.
Right.
Actually, it's, yeah, 11.75.
Yeah, 12.5, I think.
Well, it's, yeah. So it's, like, one of the... It's 11.75 this year, goes down next year, then goes back to 11.75 in 2020, and then goes up in 2021. It's like one of the little V-curve type contracts. But
right, that's 4 years, $50
million. Yeah, that's a reasonable price for a guy who's going to put up those kind of numbers. I mean, I could tell... Yeah,
like 20 and 5?
Yeah, like, I could tell you teams are going to be paying twice that for guys at comparable skill sets this summer.
Mm-hmm. By the way, speaking of all that, right, there are a couple guys like him that have switched positions recently because of this new age NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's now splitting his time evenly between small forward and power forward.
Yeah.
And we see Tobias Harris has been more or less like a full-time power forward the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is also why I'm not worried about wings.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the traditional small forward is not a small forward anymore.
Right.
The traditional small forward is a small ball power forward.
Right.
So, and if you're agile enough, you can even play the off guard.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not worried about that at all.
Yeah. If anything, that's what you want. Like, these are guys that probably would have been called tweeners a couple of years ago. And now they're just
undoubtedly.
Like, now they're exactly what you want from a wing. So we said the acquisition of Oubre was good asset management. Let's talk about Austin Rivers, which was not as good asset management. So they acquire him because we heard, you know, the Suns were really, they wanted a veteran point guard, and Austin Rivers isn't necessarily that, but he is a veteran guard. Could give him
But he's a veteran.
Yeah, right. But then they...
He's a human being.
He has a pulse. Yeah.
But, he has a pulse.
But then they immediately waive him. He gave back, according to... I don't know, some local Sun source said he gave back $650,000 in his buyout. But basically, they got him and waived him right away.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I can probably get behind that pretty quickly.
Mm, interesting. Okay.
I mean, look, I get that they needed guard help, but that just says everything about Austin Rivers, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm less worried about his like on court fit or like his how much he would help them on the court, but like they could have used him as they could have used him to match salaries in a trade closer to the trade deadline, if nothing else.
Well, I mean, yeah, so what you're thinking is they should have used him as an expiring contract to take on more long-term money.
Yeah.
You know, I would agree with you, but here's where I'm at with Robert Sarver and that entire Phoenix organization.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell they want. Like, right. They went out and signed Trevor Ariza, which I feel is just like saying everything right now.
Yeah.
And I know that was Ryan McDonagh, who's now gone and yada, yada, yada. But look, that team is just so directionless.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just clearing up cap space is the best thing, because I don't trust them to do the right thing with that. With that deal anyway. Right. They could have gone out and gone like, hey, let's trade this contract for something really long term that's really bad.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even put it past them to do that. Like, hey, Solomon Hill, come on down.
Or like use that to match the salary for John Wall.
Oh God.
Yeah. And well, I did see a report that they didn't want to take on any long term money after this year. But why? Like, that seems dumb to me.
Yeah.
What are you going to use that cap space for unless you're going to do what you did with Ariza this summer, give a one-year balloon payment to a veteran who's then going to realize what he signed up for and try to get out in 2 months?
I think you just answered your own question.
But is that the best use of cap space?
It's the Suns. No, of course it's not. No, right. No, it's not. I mean, look, certain franchises, you just kind of shake your head and go, yeah, sure, whatever. Do whatever. Like, what is it Zach Lowe always says on his pods? Like, yeah, you know, if a team is just doing really poorly and their managerial level is just bad, he's always like, yeah, let's not talk about them. That's right. Just bad. It's right. All bad.
I feel like that's what he's said about the Knicks for the last 5 years.
Yeah, basically. Like, it's sad. Yeah. Like, let's not go there. I think that's basically the issue here with Phoenix. I just, whatever they do, I just don't trust them to do the right thing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when it comes to, like, with that, I think it's almost a threat to have that contract on their books because they could do something really stupid.
That's fair. I guess that is an interesting way of looking at it that I didn't consider. Yeah. Like, you remove a bullet from the chamber that they could otherwise shoot themselves in the head with.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's self-preservation.
Okay.
Like, just, you know, a fat guy like me who should have, like, a timed, you know, lock on the refrigerator.
Sure.
Like, after a certain time, just mm-hmm. like, no, I cannot do that. Yeah. I really want that, you know, chicken leg or whatever, but it's past 10. I'm right. not allowed to.
Right.
My refrigerator will electrocute me if I actually try. Like, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, there is also an argument. You could say, like, they did right by him. They didn't want to, like, make him play out 2 months on a bad team that's going nowhere. Like,
maybe... Oh, good Lord, they did well by Austin Rivers. Well, I'm so...
You curry favor with his agent, if nothing else.
All right, that's fair.
Which could that's help down fair. The line.
But given everything we've heard about Austin, you know, privately.
Right.
You and I, like...
Yeah. Mm. Oh, no, I don't think... Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Austin Rivers was their consideration. I think it was like, all right, we need agents to be on our side here. We need to, like...
Yeah.
You know, we need to do favors to them. If we're acquiring this player and he doesn't want to be here, let's get him out. And they, you know, they didn't make him... When they bought him out, they didn't make him give back as much money as he'll earn even on a minimum contract with another team. Like, that right. seems to be pretty standard. That's what Carmelo did when he got bought out in Atlanta. He gave back, like, $2.4 million and then signed with the Rockets for $2.4 million. That's usually how this thing goes. I think Austin, he can make north of $1 million. I think it's somewhere around, like, 1.2, something like that.
Sounds about right, considering his veteran status.
Right. So they only made him give back $650,000. So, I mean, they basically just gave him a free $650,000, just... I don't know why. That's...
No, not really. I think he's had enough free money courtesy of his dad, really.
Right. Right, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of their management of this, I guess, like, the agent thing is a fair argument, and your argument of, like, maybe they just didn't want to give themselves this ticking time bomb that they could use to then trade for John Wall or someone equally atrocious is also fair, but the report I saw saying they didn't want to take on any money past the season, that's, come on, Phoenix. Like, I know Robert Sarver is cheap and bad and, like, one of the worst owners, not only in NBA, but probably all of sports, but that's why you are where you are. Like, that's what rebuilding teams do. We've seen it time and again. You take on long-term bad money. You get more picks. Cap space doesn't matter to you. Like, this, the only thing you could do with cap space is these one-year balloon payments, because no top-tier free agent is going to come to the Phoenix Suns. Not this year.
Right. Also, you know, they couldn't trade, you know, for John Wall via his contract, because then you'd send Austin Rivers back to Washington.
Oh, even better.
Just, yeah.
Well, then they'll get someone else on a terrible contract.
Right. But yeah, it's not sitting pretty.
No.
I'll be looking forward to seeing Austin play in Shanghai or something.
Well, so that's the question. So yesterday, or on Tuesday, Shams Charania of The Athletic and of Stadium, he reported that he was expected to finalize a deal with the Memphis Grizzlies once he was bought out by the Phoenix Suns. Then Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian pumped the brakes on that. He's like, contrary to today's reports, a source with knowledge of the negotiation tells the Daily Memphian that while the Grizzlies consider the matter, the team is not signing Rivers. Unlike on Friday night, when early reporting seemed to reveal some internal confusion among the NBA teams involved in a proposed transaction, this seems merely to be a case of a premature report. So Shams deleted his original tweet, and I think he even deleted this next tweet, but he said, 4 to 5 other teams are still expressing interest in Rivers, sources said. No formal offer yet from Memphis, with several days until Rivers clears waivers. So it sounds like, you know, he's not going to Memphis, at least. It's not.
No, I wonder which Rivers Memphis thought they signed.
Oh, we get Doc Rivers? Great.
Oh, cool. No. Yeah. Time machine Doc Rivers. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, it's his son? No.
Oh, no, yeah. We don't want him. No, he's terrible.
Yeah.
Where do you think Rivers would make sense once he gets bought out?
I think I just told you.
You don't think
come on. So it depends on. So here's the thing: like, he's not efficient.
Mm-hmm.
I will give him this: like, he's crafty defensively.
Yeah,
but as I alluded to previously, we have heard that he's not exactly an asset in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't help matters. Like, who would want to get in a locker room in even more turmoil? Oh, the Bulls.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, because the Bulls should just, you know, mess it up even more. That's fine. Go for it. I'll take it. I don't know. Honestly, I don't think there's a team out there that really needs, you know, Austin Rivers specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't even qualify him really as a 3-and-D guy, because he just takes too many, like, pull-ups and just plays too much out of that role.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there any one team that really sticks out to you? I mean, I don't think there is one to me. Like, oh, I guess you could argue, like, Houston, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
That's one team.
Yeah.
But even then, like, he's not efficient. So, like, would he fit under Morey Ball mentality?
Right. I don't think there's a perfect, obvious fit, but Houston strikes me as one. Just because, right. I mean, you know, they need guys aside from CP3 and Harden to be able to create their own offense. Eric Gordon has been very bad for most of the year.
Right.
I actually looked. So Houston, their offense was very bad in October, and they got off to the 1-5 start. But since November 1st, they have the best offense in the league. Like, they're actually bouncing back somewhat well from that horrible start. That said, I mean, they really do need, I'd say they just need one more creator. And so Austin Rivers could be that guy. Maybe he goes back to the Clippers. I mean, they have this like egalitarian system where, like, you know, Tobias Harris is playing an all-star level, but the rest of them are just kind of, they're all doing their part and it's working out really well. So maybe you add him back.
But like the whole going back to daddy narrative is that
right? Not ideal, but a possibility at least.
Yeah, yeah.
The Lakers. Oh, Utah. Utah would be good too. Yeah. I was gonna say the Lakers just because they seem to be sniffing around everyone.
Yeah, more or less. LeBron is rather
right. Right. The Pelicans maybe.
Now see, yeah, now this, that's interesting. That could be interesting. I mean, again, he still comes with certain limitations.
Right.
So he wouldn't solve their very obvious small forward need.
Right.
He would just kind of try to take minutes away from each one more, which I kind of don't want him to.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I guess it does give them another playmaker. It does give them someone else who can at least defend a pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
It's another healthy body who could have games here and there that significantly improve their chances of winning, I suppose.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. That one is fair.
Okay.
That one is fair. Yeah. I can get behind that one. Maybe. Utah, as I mentioned before, I mean, I don't know. That lack of efficiency again.
Yeah.
That's what they need. Like, Utah needs an efficient scorer. That's not Rivers.
Right. It would just be another guy who can create offense aside from Donovan Mitchell, which I think would be good. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, like, Dante Exum has that backup point guard role pretty well locked down. Who else? There are two. Miami Heat, now that Goran Dragic is out for 2 months.
Oh, Miami. Yeah, that could be fun, actually. I mean, they're not going anywhere. What about Detroit?
Detroit's another good one.
Yeah.
With all due respect to the legend Ish Smith, Detroit.
Chris. Yeah. Yeah. But, like, we're looking at the teams that are, you know, not really in the big picture.
Right.
Like, he's not going to help a championship contender. He's not going to help, like, a bottom feeder. Right. So we're looking at these, you know, type of on the bubble teams,
mm-hmm.
which, and even then we have some reservations about his fit, right. which isn't the greatest compliment to Austin Rivers, really. But no, I mean, in Miami, he would certainly get a run in without, you know, with Goran Dragic. He's missing 2 months, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 2 months. So Rivers getting some run at point guard and like a combo guard for 2 months with heavy minutes load. I mean, it could either help, you know, fuel the tank.
Right.
Is that where you're going with this? Is this sneak tank job? Okay.
I think they're in a lot of trouble with Dragic out, and I think, you know, they just need another healthy body to fill that. He's not going to be anywhere as good as Goran Dragic, but I think they could be headed for a death spiral, basically, if they don't do something to replace that.
But isn't that a good thing for them? Like, right now, you know, when you look at Tankathon, they're projected to pick 8th.
Uh-huh.
Like, I, if I'm a Miami fan, I probably didn't want them to be better.
Right. Yeah, but, like, does Pat Riley but feel that way?
Yeah, no, he doesn't. And that's really a concern. Like, we don't talk about that enough. Like, I get that Pat is like this hard-nosed, old-school guy. Like, I want to win every game.
Mm-hmm.
This is the NBA in 2018.
Yeah.
It's not the same league. It's just not.
Right. Yeah. Two other teams that could be an Austin Rivers fit. Portland Trailblazers?
Why?
I don't know. Just another.
They have so many of those smaller combo guys, like, you know, Anthony Simons, Seth Curry, like Gary Trent. Like,
those guys aren't playing though. Simons and Trent aren't playing.
Yeah, and they should.
Right, but they're not. So like, Rivers would be another rotation guy. I mean, they have obviously Lillard and McCollum, Stauskas and Curry off the bench as their two main backup guards.
Oh, Stauskas. Yeah, stuff. Yeah,
but like, I don't know, just another like.
Rivers. Yeah, but then you're compounding mistakes. Like the one mistake is they're not playing those young guys.
Right.
Then they're just compounding it by signing Austin Rivers.
Fair.
Yeah.
What about Philly?
It's your funeral, I guess.
I know. Yeah, he doesn't address the holes they need to fill at all.
No. No. No, the shooting ability, like being able to play off the ball, knowing your role. Not really. I'm surprised I thought you were going to mention one team and you didn't. I was really surprised about that. Orlando.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, that just seems like such a candidate for him. Like, we're empty on the guard spot. We don't really have a lot going. We're kind of desperate. Let's just go get Austin Rivers. Like, people know his name. Right. Why not?
Right. Yeah.
His dad used to coach our ball club.
Right, Yeah, the Rivers connection.
Yeah, I could totally see them trying to make it work in the media.
For sure, yeah. I mean, all of this is to say, I don't think he's going to have to go to the Shanghai Sharks just yet. I think he will find a home somewhere in the NBA. I don't know where that's going to be. I thought Memphis made some sense, actually. I'm kind of surprised they're not more in on it, but... Maybe they're holding out.
No, they want to be good.
Oh, man. So much Austin Rivers slander on this podcast that I did not expect. All right. Let's shift gears, because there was another big piece of news that came out in the last couple days. The Brooklyn Nets signed Spencer Dinwiddie to a 3-year, $34 million contract extension. The third year is a player option. He was eligible for 4 years and $47 million. But he wanted a slightly shorter deal so he could become a free agent more quickly. Thoughts on the value of that decision?
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. It's just a good, solid deal. I mean, look, he was playing well last year. Mm-hmm. Like, he was kind of breaking out.
Mm-hmm.
But this year is, like, on a whole different level. Like, he's playing the same amount of minutes.
Yep.
He's, like, 9 percentage point better, in a field goal percentage. Like, he's getting to the line more. He's scoring way more. Like, he's really lifted his game.
Yeah.
He's become downright efficient right now.
Yeah.
And I'm just digging how he plays and how he handles himself on the court. Tall point guard can slide over to the two. He and D'Angelo can sort of run these, cross matches. Like, it's just, there's a lot to like about Dinwiddie.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it's unbelievable to me that so many teams just kind of let him slip through the ranks.
I was about to say, remember when he was on the Chicago Bulls?
Yeah, I do. I remember when they chose Cameron Payne over him.
Woof. Yeah, I mean, I know you get mad about Sixth Man of the Year in particular and how it usually just goes to a high-scoring guard, but Spencer Dinwiddie should be in the Sixth Man of the Year conversation, right?
Conversation, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, look, it's one thing. No, it doesn't need to be defense. Like, you just need to contribute on more factors. Like, Domantas Sabonis,
right,
my favorite, is not a strong defender.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that he's grabbing a hell of a lot of rebounds as well. Like, right, he's at least contributing in two areas. But then again, you can say Spencer Dinwiddie is getting you 5 assists.
Yeah.
So, there's another angle to it. So, yeah, I mean, in the conversation, absolutely.
Yeah. I think your Caris LeVert MIP pick was, again, just spot on. But him going down opened more opportunity for both Dinwiddie D'Angelo Russell. And I think both of those guys have really run with it. Like, Brooklyn, look, they're not a good team, but they're okay.
And they could make the playoffs.
Yeah, they're just like an annoying team to play. Which is like, that's really, given where they were and like after this whole, the KG Paul Pierce debacle, this is really their first year. They have their draft pick and like, God knows, I mean, what, almost 5 years? Like, they're on a 6-game winning streak right now. I think, is that it's the longest in the league. They're frisky. And I think Dinwiddie's a big part of it. And I think they're smart. Like, they were limited to how much they could offer him. Because,
right,
he was a second round pick, so like they just can't offer him a full, like, massive extension. That's just the rules with these second rounders.
It's until they've like, after this deal,
right?
Yeah,
right. But like, it's a good deal. Right. I like that he bet on himself and wanted a shorter deal. Like, you know, that he wanted to get a three-year deal with a third-year player option instead of a four-year deal with no option, or a four-year deal with a player option, because that way you play this well two more years, you opt out, it'll be your age after his age 27 season in which he could opt out. So he could still get a big third contract. But even still,
he could. Yeah.
Like, even if not, I mean, even if he opts in for that third year and just continues playing at this rate, like, this guy is good. He's not getting a lot of attention because he's on the Nets, and the Nets just are still, you know, not the sexiest team out there, but they're 2.5 games out of the 6th seed right now.
I think Sean Marks is pretty damn sexy.
I do too. I just don't understand. I've seen some people saying, like, I think there was a Zach Lowe article where, not that Zach said this, but he said, like, some GMs were, like, saying, what has Sean Marks done? Like, what notable has Sean Marks done? They don't have a franchise player on that team. But, like, he's hit on the margins, which, like, you find franchise players through the draft, mostly, or you get really lucky and one signs with you in free agency, or you have the assets to trade for one. But most of the time, you get franchise players with high draft picks, where you get lucky and a Kawhi Leonard or a Giannis turns into a super-duper star and at pick 15. So they didn't have the ammunition to get those franchise players, but they've hit on the margins a lot, which is really important too. I mean, we've seen, like, Philly this year is an example of how you can hit the big picture stuff, but if you whiff on the margins, that's the difference between having a legit title contender and just a team with a lot of good top players and nothing else.
Yeah. And it also just gives you more trade flexibility. Because if you hit on the margins and they outperform their contract, they're major assets that you can give up in trades, in larger trades. Like, you can get a star caliber player in if you send out enough of these, you know, outperforming contracts out, and then, you know, a filler and a pick or whatever. But those contracts that are, or those players that outperform on contracts, are tremendously valuable, especially for teams that are looking to win immediately. So, yes, absolutely. Hitting on the margins is one of the most crucial elements to, you know, restructuring your franchise. And Sean Marks has done that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he's hit home runs with a couple of these later round picks. I mean, like, Jared Allen. Jared Allen's a long-term piece.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I mean, he's a lot better than what you expect. He was 22 overall, I want to say. Yeah.
Something along that, yep.
You don't expect to get that type of value from the number 22 overall pick.
No. And Caris LeVert was 20th, I think.
Yep. And they traded Thaddeus Young for that pick.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. The Sean Marks slander will not be found on this podcast. We will slander Austin Rivers as much as we want. But this is a Sean Marks fanboy podcast. Because he's just, like, he's just done a really good job. He had a very limited hand. And, I mean, I could not have imagined this Nets team even being this competitive given what he inherited.
Is that our next, you know, target or our next goal, Sean Marks on this podcast?
Sean, we actually really like you. And we think all the NBA GMs who don't like you are dumb. Please explain why they are dumb. And why your Nets are going to be good in a couple of years once you actually get the top-end talent. The only problem is that his team is now competitive enough where they're, you know, this is like the first year they actually have their pick. But now, naturally, this is the year where, like, four other teams are just aggressively tanking, or I guess five other teams.
Yeah.
Chicago, Atlanta, Cleveland, New York, and Phoenix. And then the Wizards are just, I don't know what the Wizards are doing.
And I get that, but I will say this, like, taking a team with so few assets and turning them into a team that's on the bubble for the playoffs, like, I respect that more than tanking. And again, I'm not an anti-tanker by any stretch.
Right.
I support tanking because that's just the smarter play.
Right.
But what he's done right now is just so impressive that it kind of goes above and beyond, like, the whole element of tanking, I feel. Because he actually said... I do believe he said that, or I might be imagining this, but He was like, oh, there's a blessing in all this because now we have to play winning basketball because we don't have our picks for so long.
Yeah.
We have to establish a winning culture. And they've done so. Like, when is the last time you've seen the Nets try actively to lose? No. Like, it's been years.
Right.
It's been years.
Yeah. They play hard all the time. It's just they, like, lack the talent to actually win games. But this year's the first year where they really have that kind of talent. Where they've beaten good teams this year. They beat Toronto. I mean, they beat the Lakers on Tuesday. Like, they're not just a pushover.
Right. I mean, look, again, that roster, like, imagine Caris LeVert being healthy.
Yeah.
I get that maybe D'Angelo and Spencer Dinwiddie wouldn't have opened up as much. But, like, that kind of depth is just impressive. And you could even have played LeVert at the three and then spend some time with, oh, that's a curious one. Like, LeVert, Russell, and Dinwiddie. Like that trio, like you could find some really fun lineups with that team.
Yeah, yeah, and like Russell's another example of a guy. You know, he didn't play all that well for them. He's just like hit or miss for them for a while, but and he still kind of is. But he's been playing better in recent weeks. I mean, he's been good lately. Like he's been very good, and if that's the type of performance they're going to get out of him moving forward, you know, then like he's a free agent after this year. If contract year D'Angelo Russell is a thing, maybe he's that piece that they, you know, the kind of marquee guy that they can build around for now as they wait to get even more top end talent.
Right. Still kind of nervous about the 61 free throw attempts over 933 minutes.
Fair. That's very fair.
Yeah, but outside of that, like offensively speaking, he's you know, very good.
Yeah, yeah. So it, just shout out again to Sean Marks for the Dinwiddie extension because it's just a good value and smart way to use manage your cap and use your assets. And then also just like it's a shout out to the Nets. You had them as a playoff team last year, and I made fun of you. And right now, again, they're two games out from the sixth seed. They're
I still maintain that Jeremy Lin injury.
I know you do.
I'll never drop that one. Never ever.
Well, maybe you were just 1 year too early on them because, like, after you know the top five,
I was light years ahead, Brian.
The top five in the East. I'm confident that all five of them are going to make the playoffs, barring like catastrophic injuries. But really, from 6 till 11. It's anyone's game. Miami's probably out. At least, like, the Dragic thing does not help. In Washington, who knows? But, like, I don't feel especially confident that the Magic or the Hornets are going to make the playoffs. I see no reason the Nets can't overtake those teams.
I would agree with that. And I think, as you kind of alluded to, with, you know, with LeVert out and with Dinwiddie and Russell kind of finding their stride a little bit more, like, we haven't even, you know, we're still nearing the midway of the season, so there's potential for them to get even better as the season progresses.
Yeah.
You know, and Jared Allen still getting used to like the second year in the league. Like a lot of these guys are young, so they're definitely going to get better as the season progresses. So I'm kind of high on them, honestly.
Yeah, I am too. All right, well, that is a good place to wrap up. So thank you to everyone for listening to another episode of the NBA Podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
Thank you, Brian. You too. And I don't know when we'll talk next time around, but you know, enjoy the holidays and we'll definitely catch each other soon, I hope.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm going to Japan soon, so we'll be taking a slight holiday hiatus, but we'll try to get at least one more episode out before I go overseas.
That may be a Christmas game centered podcast.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yep, had a feeling.